This podcast replay is brought to you by AccidentLawFirm.com. For truck, motorcycle, and rideshare accidents, call Bobby Nunez, 305-444-4407. AccidentLawFirm.com.
This is the Big O Show.
Welcome back.
This is the Big O Show.
We are trying to get in contact with Ryan, and hopefully we will in a few minutes, and we'll get in contact with him and bring him aboard. If you want to get in on the AccidentLawFirm.com text line, all you got to do is dial 786-322-1105. That's 786-322-1105 if you want to get in on the AccidentLawFirm.com text line. Even if you're my inter Miami sales executive, you can even reach out to me there.
Do you know who usually hits you up during the show, is phone call wise, has been your agent? I'm surprised he hasn't used the Accident Law Firm text line.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, that's I guess other ways to contact me without actually calling my cell phone, which is crazy. Which, by the way, everybody in that organization has my cell phone. Okay, the owner has my cell phone. All right.
Weren't you hanging out with all them guys when they were doing the stuff during the election
Moss and Beckham.
That's what I thought.
I was hanging out with the two most important dudes in the organization. Yes, I've had them both on the show. So, yes, we have. But, you know, it's funny, man. You got to love that. Anyway, so we got that going on. The whole deal with the top pick now in the draft. Miami right now is at number 4. For those of you that are absolutely obsessed with Miami and the draft pick, which again, not where you pick, it's who you pick. And right now you're not in position apparently for Joe Burrow. You're not in position for Chase Young at this point. Maybe more about the Tristan Wirfs kid, the CeeDee Lamb, the wide receiver from Oklahoma. Isaiah Simmons from Clemson is another guy. The outside linebacker is another guy. Jeffrey Okuda, the quarterback from Ohio State. Ohio State's got a couple of top picks in this draft. Not just the D-end, but also the corner, considered kind of a shutdown guy. The tackle, Andrew Thomas from Georgia, is another guy that's going to be in that group of those top five picks where Miami is at. They're at number 4 right now. It's Cincy, the Giants, Washington, and then Miami at number 4. And you don't want to go crazy trying to trade up either. Okay? I don't think you want to act desperate because you have all that draft capital. You don't want to now give that draft capital away when you can draft a lot of good players and create one hell of a team. You will find a quarterback. Don't worry. And you can listen to our prior segment. We gave you plenty of reasons why you shouldn't be overreacting with the number 1 pick. It just doesn't really pay off most of the time.
I was thinking of something, though. We don't get a quarterback. We grab one in the 3rd or 4th round, and he battles with Rosenblatt, and we're kind of in the same spot. We don't have our guy going into next year. If Trevor Lawrence is still the kid, and he's the be-all, end-all, do we try to trade up and get that kid? Like, put crosshairs on it and go after him all in?
On who?
On the Lawrence kid from Clemson next year. You know what I mean? If it's still he is the guy.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. They've got to trade in picks to that draft. And they will, I think, in this draft coming up, they will trade back into the 2021 draft and try to position themselves. But I don't think he's going to be clearly number 1. Okay, Flores with no talent can't go 0-16. Okay? I mean, they tore that thing down. They were all young, and he's already won three games. More to come.
Yes.
Oh, okay? Yeah. Which
right. The way you worded it, though, that was hilarious. He can't go. Like, we tried, we did everything we could to undercut the guy.
They went young, and they thought, okay, well, we're going to reset the team, and most of us thought, okay, well, they're not going to win anything, or very little, and this guy has done better than what you expected, with no talent. That's crazy. So next year, there's no doubt that you should be better next year, because you'll have more talent. So you should win a couple of extra games, a game or two or three more next year. Then that puts you in a position where you got to try to acquire a pick that is going to be really high next year in the draft. And it's not going to be your own. Because you have to try to set yourself up that way. Because if you don't, you're going to have to give up the world to all the way move up. And here's the other thing. I don't think the person that has Trevor Lawrence is trading Trevor Lawrence, no matter what you offer them. Okay? Because that is a franchise-changing type player. And you could give up, you could say, well, they're giving us three first-rounders.
In other words, even if you have a quarterback already, you're probably still,
unless it's a young stud, unless it's Kansas City.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a perfect.
You know, if you're Kansas City or whatever, then you can't make that.
Houston. Yeah, Houston. Yeah, you got Watson.
Same thing. That I can see that then. But those kind of teams, it would be catastrophic for them to get to number one.
They're not. Right. I was just going to say, these teams are only going up in the standings.
And if they have bad years, you know, they'll win 5, 6, 7 games anyway because they have enough talent to win those kind of games. The league is set for you to be 500 anyway. It's weird, man. It's just weird. But they will. They'll trade into the draft the following season and try to position themselves. But I don't think it'll be because they're going to try to move up. That's all. We'll see. That's so far ahead at this point. I'm not going to worry about that. Yeah, I'm not even thinking about this draft yet. I'm still enjoying what's going on right now. And we talked about this yesterday, how at 3-9, you have a much better feeling about this team than you ever expected at the beginning of the year after those first two games. Think about it. After the first 2 weeks, do you think you would ever feel like you feel right now at 3-9 is a terrible record. But for us, if you look at it and you say, well, wait a minute, they have no talent. They're all young. They've won 3 of their last 5 games. They've gotten better as the year's gone on. They're actually building something here, you know? So you feel better about the team and its direction now than you did after week 2. Strange, but that's the case. It really is. 786-322-1105. If you want to get in on the program, that's 786-322-1105. We really didn't go around the NFL yesterday, but I will say this. I enjoyed that Bengals win, and I wasn't the person. Never crossed my mind. I don't care about it because I had a buddy of mine send me a text. He goes, dude, we're winning. And since he's winning, couldn't we lose? And I just sent him back an emoji with a smiling face because that just, I've heard this enough already. And it's like, dude, please, I'm done with that. I'm not worried about that. And I'm more worried about you building a good team with a good culture. And that's the start of it, is what's going on now. The culture is more important than any pick you're going to make. Remember that, okay? If a great player walks in to a terrible culture, what happens? You're Steve Young in Tampa. You're What's Peyton's dad's name? I forgot now.
Oh, Archie?
Archie. You're Archie in New Orleans. Right? That's what happens. I mean, Steve Barkowski was a pretty damn good quarterback. I won't call him great, but I'd call him a pretty damn good quarterback, and he was stuck on a bad team. Walter Payton, for many years, stuck in a terrible culture, terrible team, until Ditka and company took over, and they changed the culture, they changed the team, and then luckily for Sweetness, he was able to, it was like Ray Bourque. Ray Bourque got traded to the Avalanche at the end of his career, and he got to win that championship. Same thing. Walter Payton was with a bunch of sorry-ass players, Bob Avellini and all that crap, and then eventually got that title at the end in the twilight of his career. Culture is everything, because you can beat Mitch Richmond and be a hell of a player and play your ass off for the Sacramento Kings, but you're still the Sacramento Kings. Does nothing for you. So culture is really important. And for those out there that are just thinking about tanking, they miss out on the big picture. You could suck and have the number one pick and then bring the guy onto your team. And if you're the Raiders, you're the Raiders. And then when you're the Raiders and you add Jamarcus Russell, what's it going to get you?
Worse than that, Ryan Leaf.
There you go. But it's not that San Diego's culture was bad. You know what I mean? Ryan was bad. What I was talking about with Oakland is the culture was bad. The player was terrible. You had no shot. None. Jimmy Smith, not the receiver, the cornerback, came out of Colorado with a lot of baggage. Fell in the draft. Baltimore picks him. Do you know why they picked him? Because he's a player. But not only is he a player, and he's had some issues in the team over the years, not a lot, not compared to what people thought he might have coming out of college with some of the stuff he had going on. But at that moment, they were drafting him into a locker room with Suggs and Reed and Lewis and Culture. So they figured, okay, he's got some baggage, but we can embrace him. We can make him better as a person and move on. And eventually that's what's happened. He's had a couple of issues, but nothing real major. But it's culture. And it's a cliche. It's a term we throw around loosely. We kind of throw it around in jest too. Maybe it's a lighthearted approach to it. We don't take it seriously. But it's very important, because you watch it with the Heat. It's been set in place. This is the way you're going to do things, because this is how we do it in Sioux Falls, and this is how we do it here in Miami. And this is what you're doing now with the Dolphins. Whether it's the wall, whether it's the penalties, whether it's hard-nosed approach, whether it's effort for four quarters, whatever it is, there is a culture they're trying to establish. And you can have all the picks you want, ladies and gentlemen, but if you don't have the right coach, you don't have the right personnel group in the front office, it doesn't matter. We can see players, and you and I have seen teams that suck, like the Clippers for many years. They sucked. They had top picks all the time. Never did anything with them. Why? Culture wasn't in place. Now you bring in Doc. Now you bring in the owner. You bring in Jerry West. How's the culture with the Clippers now? You got rid of Donald Sterling, right? Mike Brown. Mike Brown constantly hires morons. Or drafts them, I'm sorry, not hires. Constantly has players that are getting arrested and doing stupid things. Hell, the story came out after Vontaze Burfict had his latest issue that got suspended for the year. I read a story where Marvin Lewis wanted to suspend Burfict more times in Cincinnati, but Mike Brown didn't let him. That's culture, ladies and gentlemen. That's your owner allowing stuff to fester. This is what we're talking about. So you can poo-poo it all you want. You can laugh about it. You can play it down. But it is so important that if you don't have it in place, I don't care what you draft. You'll be the Bucks that they were. They've been the Bucks for many years, where they had high picks and they weren't doing anything with it. The Jags went through that time. Cincinnati's gone through it. Arizona's gone through it. Miami's gone through it. Detroit Lions have had plenty of bad seasons, high picks.
Half a century, bro.
And they never build on it. And that's because there's never a good culture in place in Detroit. And that's why I tell you that it's funny when I hear people, well, I don't trust Chris Greer. I don't know if he can make the picks. Well, look at all the picks that are going on. He's made these picks lately. Look at the coach he hired. He did a pretty good job hiring that coach, right? So then how about giving him some credit? They actually can do it. But let's pay attention to what's actually going on.
Thank you for calling. Give us 1 second.
We'll pay attention to what they're establishing in Miami. And trust me, what he's trying to do this year, if it rolls over into next year, is more important than any first-round pick you're going to add. Because this will give them the chance to succeed, because Gesicki got better with these guys and Devontae Parker got better with these guys. That's the difference. All right, I promised you that Ryan Dunleavy would be joining us from the New York Post. You can follow him on Twitter at @RyDunleavy. Ry Dunleavy, catch his work there at the New York Post covering the NFL. Ryan, good afternoon, my man. Do we have him yet? No? Yes.
I'm trying to get him on. Hold on.
Okay. All right. We almost have him on. So I got a little ahead of myself here. A second. Hey, give me the theme song for a couple seconds here. All right, thank you very much. We are going to get in contact here with Ryan Dunleavy in just a second. Ah, all right, it's just this thing, man, stuffs you up, and you try.
Dude, you're in its clutches. It's got you really good.
Yeah, I got to tell you.
And, of course, all the talking on the show doesn't help either.
No, it does not. So we're going to get Ryan on now as Bill is working it, as always, cranking it out. And we'll talk to Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post. You can follow him on Twitter at @RyDunleavy. And we will talk a little NFL with him.
We have Ryan for you, sir.
All right. Thank you, sir. Ryan, good afternoon, my man. How are you doing? Ryan, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, we got you, Ryan. Are you there, my man? You got me?
I got you. Hello?
All right. There we go, Ryan. All right. Good stuff. Appreciate you joining us. First of all,
sorry for the trouble.
It's all good, my brother. It's all good. Since you are in New York, how are they reacting now that the Jets had the other setback now this week against the Cincinnati Bengals? I'm wondering.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reaction is same old Jets. I mean, I hate that phrase, but I think longtime Jets fans saw this coming. It was almost like beating the Raiders was a setup. You know, oh, maybe we're better than we thought we were. And then, oh, no, here's the next game is the Bengals. It's almost like the Jets would have been better off and their fans would have been better off facing the Patriots the week after the Raiders game and knowing, okay, well, loss is coming. But that was almost like a cruel setup to win three in a row, get the winless team, then get the Dolphins and feel like a five-game winning streak was ahead. And if you know the Jets, that's just not how things work.
Are you believing the owner when he says that he will survive and he will be brought back next year?
Yes, I totally believe him. Because there's no reason to do it. You just have to look across the way at the Giants, who have a stable ownership group and have totally not done that. Have avoided. John Tisch actually was asked about it today for the first time at a March of Dimes event, and did not support Pat Shermer. Basically said, we'll have those conversations at the end of the season. So if you don't want to make those comments, you don't have to make those comments. There's plenty of ways to talk around it. So when Christopher Johnson goes out and says he's going to be back, I believe he's going to be back, especially when you win three straight right after that. It's what's good for the quarterback, and continuity is good for Sam Darnold right now.
Yeah, but they do have an out. If the brother does come back, then he
do.
Huh?
They do.
Go ahead.
I think they do. You're right. They have it now. But I can't believe that Christopher Johnson would have done that without talking to Woody Johnson first. I can't believe that anybody would. He wouldn't have said, "Hey, I want to do this," and that Woody wouldn't have been like, "Yes, okay." I can't believe Woody will come back and change the mind. That would look incredibly dysfunctional.
Do you believe that Gase has the respect of his locker room?
I do, yeah. And I think it starts with Arnold. I think it starts with Bell. I think those guys, I think those guys have said it time and time again. And look, you got to be in the locker room to know. And I think that, yeah, that is not a locker room that – and look, it's coming at a time where they had won three in a row, Look, this step back is going to certainly raise some flags, but I think you can see a team that saw its coach get a vote of confidence and won three games in a row, including an upset. I think that team has much more confidence in its coach right now than the Giants do.
Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at @RYDunleavy. The Patriots, my brother, that offense looked slow, old. It just didn't look like it had any explosion whatsoever. And, the numbers say it, too. They're not an explosive offense. Are we seeing, finally, the demise of the Patriots, or there's no way we should be talking about that at all?
No way. Fool me once, fool me twice, fool me 47 times. No way. I don't see it. Look, does that mean they're going to win the Super Bowl? What's the demise of the Patriots? They're still 10-2, right?
Yes.
Does that mean they're not going to get to the second round of the playoffs? That would be a demise. They're always in the second round of the playoffs. They're always in the AFC Championship game. You told me they lost the AFC Championship game 34-31 to the Ravens. I mean, to me, that's not the demise of the Patriots. They could have lost to the Chiefs last year, if not for an offside call. I don't think we're talking about the demise of the Patriots. Do I think they're going to win the Super Bowl? They'd still be my pick. But if they don't, that's not the demise of the Patriots. The demise of the Patriots is when they come back down to earth. And to me, this is just the same thing we do every year. It's just a little later in the season. We do this in September every season. Oh, is this the year it falls apart? No, this is a great defense. It's a different Patriots team. A great defense that can't that with offense that needs some help. But you know what? If I need help with my offense, I'll have Tom Brady run, help guys who are running crossing routes all day. I'll have him throw them open and rely on my defense. It'll be a nice change for the Patriots.
Yeah, and when I'm looking at it, Ryan, and they're just going to have to play you tell me if I'm wrong here, but I think they're just going to have to play a possession-controlled type offense where they run the ball a lot, they pass the ball to their running backs a lot, they have long drives, controlling the clock, controlling possessions of their opponents. I think that's kind of how they have to play because they've got the defense to do that. They've just got to kind of get that prodding offense to be that way, put together. And they can, and Brady's one of those guys that, a lot of quarterbacks can't put together those 12, 14 play drives because they'll make mistakes. This is one of those dudes that has the patience to actually kill you slowly like that.
Correct. I think everything you said is exactly right. If I'm going to go on a long drive, I want Tom Brady to be the guy leading me on a long drive. And let's not forget, because he's had a quarterback, the greatest quarterback of all time for all these years, and, you know, some weapons who've come through on offense, you know, Edelman, and go back 10 years to Randy Moss, and some of the guys he's had on his offense, Wes Welker, and Patriots have been an offensive team. Let's not forget Bill Belichick is maybe the greatest defensive mind of the last 40 years. So if you're telling me he has to win a game with defense, I fully believe he can win a game 9-7 if he needs to.
All right, Ryan, tell me, are you believing in the Ravens? One, Lamar's already proven me wrong, but I don't believe he will prove me wrong on the long term, because I don't believe a quarterback can run 200 times a year and stay healthy. Unfortunately, I think we're going to have that situation where RG3 ran into Haloti Ngata, and the rest is history. I think it's going to end up happening. So I'm wondering, how do you view this whole thing and this movement by the Ravens?
That's a great question, and I'll tell you the debate I've had with a bunch of other reporters. Would you rather 5 years of Lamar Jackson? Because I agree with you. I don't know if he can hold up. The comparison to me is Vic, not so much RG3, but Vic. But if you would rather have 5 years of Lamar Jackson playing at this level, maybe he wins you a Super Bowl, maybe he doesn't, but he's playing at an MVP level.
No doubt.
5 years like this before he, you know, he suffers a serious injury or has to change the way he plays as he gets older. 5 years or 10 years of an unknown promising guy like a Sam Darnold or a Daniel Jones or a
Matt Stafford,
guy who's going to Baker Mayfield.
Matt Stafford? Huh?
What'd you say?
A Matt Stafford type?
Yeah, a Matt Stafford type, a younger Matt Stafford type. What would you rather have? Because if you're telling me I get 5 years of Lamar versus Daniel Jones or Darnold is going to give me Matt Stafford's career, I'm going to take the 5 years of Lamar and bet that 1 year I can win a Super Bowl. I'm going to take the 5 years of superstardom versus the 10 years of just a good quarterback and hope that in those 5 years I can win a championship or two. But that's really what it's all about, is can you win one or not? If you can't win one, then you're better off with the 10 years of really solid play than the 5 years of spectacular play. But I'll bet on Lamar and what they're doing right now. He's proven me. I covered college football when he was the biggest star in it, and I didn't think it was. You're right. He proved me wrong. I didn't think it was translatable to the NFL. I never thought he had to play receiver like some people did. I thought he could be an NFL quarterback, but I did not see MVP caliber play coming from him.
And now, I love the way you phrased it, Ryan, because if you do give me 5 years of health, then I'll take my chances, because I just told you that if you control the ball with the Patriots and the running game and all, which is what the Ravens are doing, they're controlling the clock, they're controlling the running game, they are manhandling you, they're wearing you out by the fourth quarter. You can easily win a championship in that fashion, but you got to guarantee me the 5 years of health. I don't know if this kid can stay healthy for 5 years, but the way you phrased it, I'm with you. I would take 5 years of Lamar if he can play this way and stay healthy. That would be an absolutely phenomenal get.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, the Patriots' way of doing things has worked because they have the greatest quarterback of all time and the best coach of all time. But you made a great point, Matthew Stafford. Like, I'm not going to guarantee you Jones or Darnold is going to have Matthew Stafford's career. They could be better. They could be worse. But if you're giving me 5 years of Lamar at this level or 10 years, and Matthew Stafford's won what? One playoff? No, hasn't won a playoff game, right? Hasn't been to a playoff game. Hasn't won a playoff game. Has been to the playoffs 3 or 4 times. 9-7 was like the regular record under Jim Caldwell. To me, I'll take my chances with the spectacular. And if I have to draft another quarterback earlier than I normally would because Lamar Jackson's shelf life isn't as long because he gets beat up, well, then I'll do that. In 7 years, I'll draft another quarterback.
Ryan Dunleavy joining us from the New York Post. Follow him on Twitter at @RYDunleavy. Hey, Ryan, before I let you go, I'm not falling for it because I've seen plenty of it. I've seen the streaks, and that's who he is. Are you falling for the banana in the tailpipe in Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee?
No, I'm not falling for it. No. Look, again, I think that there's a – Ryan Tannehill is what he is. He can start in the NFL. He's a starting NFL quarterback, just like I think Andy Dalton's a starting NFL quarterback. Do I think either one of those guys is leading you to a Super Bowl, is leading you deep into the playoffs, even with a good team around him? The Titans have a good team around him, a much better team than the Dolphins ever did, including when the Dolphins went to the playoffs that one year with Gates. But I don't see, eventually in the playoffs, your quarterback's probably going to have to win you a game. It's not going to be Tannehill. It's not going to be Dalton.
I'm with you there all the way. Follow him on Twitter at R.Y. Dunleavy. Catch his work at the New York Post. Ryan, thank you for taking some time, my brother. When you come on down, we'll treat you to those donuts.
That sounds good. I'm in.
All right, brother. Be good. Thank you.
Thank you.
There you go. Ryan Dunleavy, man. Good stuff there. We appreciate Ryan for joining us. We are going to now take a short break. Ben Ennis is going to join us. Bill's going to dial him up right now. We'll get Ben Ennis on. He covers the Raptors. 590 The Fan in Toronto. Guess who's in Toronto tonight? The Miami Heat. Let's talk a little Heat and Raptors next.
Plus tax, tech title. It includes $899 dealer fee on approved credit offers and 11-10-19.
Over 1,500 Toyotas are on the ground, and truckloads of new 2020 Toyotas just keep on coming. To eliminate all 2019 models, Toyota of Hollywood is holding the ultimate 2019 model year changeover event. Make us an offer, any offer, and you can buy a Toyota at up to 50% less than their original MSRP when new and used.
50% less.
Upfront 2019 RAV4, not 30,000. 19,775. Upfront 2019 Camry LE, not 26,000. 17,775. Upfront 2019 Corolla LE, not 22,000. 12,775. Pay up to 50% less at Toyota of Hollywood, the number one volume Toyota dealer, based on total retail sales of new Toyotas in the Southeast region for 2014 to 2018 per SET on 441 between Hollywood Boulevard and Sheridan Street. Open till midnight.
Thinking about buying or refinancing a home? Act now. Home values are ticking up. Don't put off making a move any longer. Call Michael Codsey now at Choice Mortgage Bank, 561-441-2730. While mortgage interest rates are still at historical lows, call now to get pre-approved and buy your dream home. If you're currently paying over $800 a month for rent, call 561-441-2730 now before interest rates go up. Down payments as low as 3.5%. Veterans may qualify for no money down. If you own a home, but you're upside down, Michael Codsey can help. If you're being denied by your bank or your loan process is taking too long, call 561-441-2730. Act now while fixed rates are still under 3.5%. Offices in Boca and Boynton Beach. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. Equal housing lender. NMLS 122081.
No one expects to get into a crash, but I expect you to go to accidentlawfirm.com if you do. Make sure when hiring a driver, you go through a rideshare app so that you can be covered by the insurance, which can be up to $1 million, whether you're a passenger or a driver. In other words, don't try to save a few bucks by paying cash instead of going through the app. I'm attorney Bobby Nunez from Nunez Law in Miami, and we're here to help you through the process. Go to accidentlawfirm.com for a free consultation from me, Bobby Nunez. That's accidentlawfirm.com.
America's safest and best-selling compact luxury SUV is at Acura of Pembroke Pines, and this is how we do it. RDX, $339 a month at Acura of Pembroke Pines, the number one volume Acura dealer.
Since the Big O Show!
Welcome back. I'm struggling with the voice today, and I really appreciate a lot of you that have hung in there, and I see you staying there and waiting on YouTube and watching, and I appreciate your patience immensely. We are awaiting now Ben Ennis from 590 The Fan to join us to talk a little Heat and Raptors as the Raptors get ready, which, crazy story, dude. Masai Ujiri, who is the general manager of Toronto, and you've seen what the Raptors have done over the years. He's one of the three best GMs in the business, okay? No doubt about it. How about that report that he might leave Toronto to go to the Knicks?
Ben.
Why?
How are you doing?
What are they doing in Toronto to like insult you? It's weird. So I wanna talk to Ben about that, because I saw that story and I thought that was odd. You know what I mean? And tonight, hell of a game, because two teams that are right there in the battle for the top of the East. Raptors are second at 15-4. Miami's in third place at 14-5. Actually tied with the Celtics at 14-5. So we're going to talk to Ben Ennis from The Fan 590 in Toronto. You can follow him on Twitter at SportsNetBen. Let's bring him aboard. Do we have him yet? Almost. All right, we're trying to get Ben on here. Yeah, I know he's kind of on hold here, so we're hopefully bringing him up here, and hopefully we'll get him on. And let's see, do we have him? And there we go. Do we have Mr. Ennis? Ben, how you doing?
Have Ben, man.
Ben, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great, my brother. Thank you for taking some time. And, of course, you can follow him on Twitter at SportsNetBen. Catch his work there at 590 The Fan. All right, first of all, dude, I got to find out about this. All right, I see this story, and it says Masai Ujiri might be leaving Toronto to go to the Knicks. Now, this has been rumored and talked about in the past. Why does this fester? What is Masai Ujiri smoking that he would leave Toronto? That is a great situation. Looks like a great ownership group. Phenomenal fan base. He's done an awesome job. Why would he want to join that clown in New York? Is there any truth to this? All right, we're having some technical issues with Ben, and we're trying to bring him back up again here on the phones. And after 4 hours on the air with a cold, I am completely running out of gas already at this point. I got to go back for another 24 hours of rest before I could get it back going here. We're trying to pull it up here, but unfortunately, it's...
I think we got it.
I think we got him.
All right, Ben, are you there?
Yeah, okay, I think I got you.
All right, repeat your answer on is Masai smoking the good stuff, because I don't get it. I don't get it, bro.
Well, it's legal here, so he wouldn't be faulted for it. But okay. No, man, like the stuff you would need to be smoking to sign up with James Dolan and the Knicks is probably not legal. Like the legal stuff doesn't take you to another planet, which is where your brain would have to be. To leave the Raptors and their ownership situation and their sturdiness and this fan base.
Thank you.
And everything surrounding the Toronto Raptors to leave for the Knicks. He's not going to do it. We've talked to people in New York, as I was saying to, I guess, myself. We talked to Frank Isola, who's pretty plugged in New York last week on our show, and we asked him the same thing. He's been all over the story. Yeah, it's a pipe dream. I mean, the only way I could see it happening is if the league steps in, if the NBA's looks at the Knicks and says, this situation is so brutal, it's so dire, that we need to step in and stabilize one of our marquee franchises, and they kind of force it. But, I mean, imagine the look.
But you can't do that. You can't force Masai to leave Toronto. I mean, that would be disgusting if you would force somebody to do that. Toronto should have that guy forever, bro. That guy, you got to build a freaking statue for that guy outside that arena. That guy's one of the three best GMs on the planet, bro. On the planet.
Yeah, in the history of pro sports. I mean, and it goes. I mean, I like, where do you even start with this guy? Because he pulls off, of course, yeah, the Kawhi Leonard trade, which, you know, I mean, it seems so obvious in retrospect, but at the time was kind of viewed with like a raised eyebrow, because you are giving up one of the franchise icons and DeMar DeRozan for a guy who seemingly didn't want to be here.
Right.
It ends up in a championship. They give up some of their future at the trade deadline, picking up Marc Gasol. They don't have a first-round pick this year. And you know what they do? They get a guy at Ole Miss in Terrence Davis, who was going to be a second-round pick but wanted a guaranteed deal. They pick him up as an undrafted free agent, and all of a sudden he's turned himself into a 20-minute-a-night rotation piece. They basically just fabricated a first-round pick out of nowhere. That guy's the middle of the first round if they do that draft again, like today, just a couple of months after it happened. There's just not enough superlatives you can attach to Masai Ujiri's name. he's a legend here. They will, like, it's not hyperbole to talk about him eventually being immortalized in statue form.
No.
Outside Scotiabank Arena at some time when it's all said and done. That's going to happen. I don't know, like, what the scenario would be where he would leave to go to the Knicks.
Look at Van Vliet, how he's developed. Siakam. I mean, this guy's freaking awesome, dude. This has to be some New York writer or two that are kind of fanboys and they're trying to keep this thing alive or something. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
I get it in a way, right? Of course. You know, does James Dolan, do the New York Knicks want Masai Ujiri? Like 1,000% yes? Of course.
Of course.
Of course they want Masai Ujiri. And so far, that's the only reporting we've seen, right, is that the Knicks will make a serious attempt to go get Masai Ujiri, which you assume means everything short of an ownership stake in the franchise. But that's what it would take, because nobody's going to outbid the Raptors ownership group, which is there's a single owner in Larry Tannenbaum, and then there's the two major telecommunication giants, Bell and Rogers, that are part of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, which own the Raptors. There is no number too big for the Raptors to match for Usai Ujiri. The amount of money he made that ownership group with that playoff run, the amount of attention he's drawn to basketball in the city, which is still the secondary sport in Toronto, right? Like, it's a hockey town, we get that. But the amount of inroads that this Raptors team has made over the last 25 years, and specifically over the last one, that can't be quantified.
And by the way, the Raptors are way more relevant too than the Leafs, actually. So it's crazy, yeah. Right? I mean, we know the Leafs will always dominate because it is what it is, where you're at. But it's funny because the Raptors lately are the better organization by far. It's not even close. And you know, I admire what they've done from afar, because being here in Miami, we have watched what Riley has built here forever, and that's what they're doing in Toronto. They're building that kind of an organization. If Masai's, you know, if the rumor was, let's put it this way, Ben. If the rumor was, all right, Masai is leaving for the Clippers because he wants to work for that owner and Jerry West. Okay, I get it. Great organization, he's leaving. But the Lakers or the Knicks, are as much as they have their marquee and their markets and all that, the ownership groups are disaster. There's dysfunction all over. It's like, why would you want that kind of headache? I get it if Masai was actually, you know, rumored for a good franchise that he wanted to leave. Fine, I get that. But the Knicks, dude, come on, bro.
Well, this is the way, I mean, this franchise has been viewed by just about everybody in NBA circles for the majority of its 25-year history, right? It's like Chris Bosh leaves, Vince Carter leaves,
right.
Guys leave, right?
Right.
It's not that people arrive, but we should actually be talking about the reverse in this case. It's like, not only is Masai Ujiri not going to leave to go to the Knicks, but the Knicks have a guy in R.J. Barrett, a rookie, their first-round pick, third overall, that is from the Toronto area, that is beloved in this country. He's going to represent Canada this summer in the Last Chance Olympic qualifying tournament. And when he's done his rookie deal in 6 years, like, that's what we should be. That's the more realistic scenario. It's not that the Raptors lose. They're the most successful executive in the history of this franchise and maybe any other franchise in the history of North American professional sports, but that R.J. Barrett is sucking it up for the better part of a decade with that horrible organization, then eventually turns heel and comes home to the Raptors after they've won, you know, three championships in a row.
Yeah, and there are no franchise tags in the NBA. All right, so tonight, my brother, we got the 15-4 Raptors against the upstart and surprise 14-5 Miami Heat in your town. Your thoughts on this game tonight?
It's a great test for the Raptors. We talked about it today on my radio show that, man, a couple of the guys that were the most dangerous throughout the entire postseason for the Raptors last year left their teams. Malcolm Brogdon, who the Bucks decided not to bring back for money reasons only.
Right.
He's gone, goes to Indiana. And Jimmy Butler. Like, okay, so Joel Embiid is the MVP candidate. And yeah, Ben Simmons was the rookie of the year. And get that. Like, who was the heartbeat of that team it was Jimmy freaking Butler. No one would dispute it. And going back before that, this Raptors team, before they were the elite team they are now, had, like, I want to say, a 20-plus game losing streak against the Chicago Bulls. And the Bulls weren't great shakes throughout a lot of that time, but Jimmy Butler was an absolute Raptor killer. So Raptors fans are going to be watching this game. I'm very much on the edge of their seat waiting for Jimmy Butler to drop some big buckets. But this Raptors team, man, it's so weird for a team coming off a championship like they were to have expectations the way they were to start the season. But there's nobody, like even the most optimistic person in the world, optimistic Raptors fan, could have never anticipated what we've seen this season through, what, like 20 games or so, that Pascal Siakam looks like a legit top 10 player in the NBA. And they've done their best work the last 11 games without Kyle Lowry, who might be back tonight, but might not as well. He's dealing with a broken finger. They've done all of this without their second best player for the majority of the season. So really looking forward to a stiffer test than the Raptors have seen for the majority of the season. They had the 14th strongest strength of schedule so far this year. I mean, they handled the Jazz pretty easily, which is a good team in their last home game. But, yes. Yeah, it'd be good to see some more tougher competition for this Raptors team.
And how about Van Vliet, man? I mean, that kid just took it up another notch and said, hey, I'm just going to prove to you guys that what you saw the last year was not a fluke. And that kid just stepped up big time this year.
He's such a wild case, because I know it feels like the entire playoffs were incredible for him. It was really just the last couple rounds. Like, he had his kid, I think his third child was born in the middle of that Bucks series in the Eastern Conference Final, and he basically didn't miss from three in the final two rounds of the postseason. Before that, there were legitimate conversations as to whether he should still be in the rotation. In fact, in game six against the Sixers, I want to say he played like 5 minutes. He was unplayable and then couldn't miss. And since then, I mean, Lowry goes out, and we're talking about a pending free agent in Fred VanVleet. I think he's shown everybody that he can be a starting point guard on like a good team, not just a playoff team, but one of the upper echelon teams in all of the NBA, because that's what he's done through the first 20 games of the season, and more than half of those games been the starting point guard for this team. And the offense hasn't been the calling card. Like, they have the best opponent field goal percentage in the NBA. It's been the defense. But the way he's continued to facilitate Pascal Siakam and kept the offense afloat, it's been wild. And I can't imagine what his price tag is going to be at the end of the season.
Well, they'll pay it, bro. They got to pay it, right? They'll keep him. He's not going anywhere, I would imagine.
No. They have to keep him. I mean, they have his bird rights. They're gonna keep him, especially considering. I mean, they've already the free agent class this upcoming offseason isn't great, and he might actually be at the top of the list. And two, Kyle Lowry's under contract. They signed him to a 1-year extension before the season started this year for $30+ million. It's a 1-year deal, though. The point guard situation for this team beyond next season is very much in flux. But I think Fred showed a lot of people that, you know what, you might not have to look outside of the organization. You might just have to lock this guy up long-term, and he'll start with Kyle next year, and then maybe Kyle moves on someplace else, or he takes a pay cut, and he's the number one point guard for this team in 2021-22.
Ben Ennis, by the way, does his work there at the Fan 590 there in Toronto. You can follow him on Twitter at SportsNetBen. Ben, one other thing that I heard, you know, the Spurs are stinking it out. They are having a terrible year. So now they're talking about maybe unloading DeRozan and Aldridge to other teams. And DeRozan, they actually rumored and threw in the name Toronto, possibly. Do you believe there's any shot that a reunion could happen?
Oh, man, I saw this report initially. I think it was Bleacher Report had it at first, and they quoted an unnamed Western Conference executive as talking about the price tag being one of Marc Gasol or Serge Ibaka and a first-round pick, which is, like,
no
laugh
way.
Out loud funny.
Yes.
And then, like, there's just no chance.
Nope.
I mentioned the Raptors. I mentioned their number one in opponent field goal percentage, which I guess also plays into this. I mean, DeRozan's a one-way player, right?
Yep, no three-pointers.
There's not a lot happening.
No three-pointers.
There's not a lot happening, yeah, defensively, and there's nothing happening beyond the arc. This Raptors team is number one three-point shooting team in the NBA. So, I mean, there's such a multitude of reasons why it wouldn't work out. And the one that even goes beyond the numbers is, hey, he's still a beloved figure in franchise history. And every time the Spurs come to town, he gets a huge ovation. And again, maybe down the line, he has his number retired as well, but he returns to this Raptors team right now. And where does he fit? He's a bench piece and like maybe not even a rotation guy. Are you going to do that to one of your franchise icons is bring him back? As like a kind of a make good to the fans, and that's what it would be for, right? Not to mention the price tag also, right? The guy's on a ginormous deal. But yeah, it would be a little nod to the fans, I suppose, but
you trade for him. No, you trade for him, you screw yourself with Van Vliet. That's basically what it is, right? Because then you become this ridiculous tax team for no reason at all. Where I could see this happening, Ben, and you tell me if I'm wrong, is Twilight, the end of his career. Wherever he goes next, at the end of that run where he's got maybe a year or two left, he goes back to Toronto to like close out his career, come off the bench. Dwayne Wade-like, you know, that kind of deal. I can see that happening. But right now,
yeah.
I laughed at that deal too. And also, you're not getting a first rounder anymore for DeRozan. That's
not
going to happen anymore.
No, the situation you outlined, twilight of his career, he sees the end on the horizon. Maybe he's a role player returning to Toronto. Every time he comes off the bench, gives them a lift. There's no lofty expectations for him. That's actually the scenario that a lot of Raptors fans painted for Vince Carter returning to the Raptors, but yeah, he's not interested in that because he wants a bigger role. It's not like he has a huge one in Atlanta, but he doesn't want to have the tiniest of all bench roles with a team that has like title aspirations. But yeah, that's for sure. That's a more reasonable expectation for DeMar DeRozan return to the Raptors. It's not in the middle of the prime of their contention window, giving up assets to get a guy who's grossly overpaid and only an offensive player.
How's the development of OG gone this year?
He's been incredible. Now it started off really, really well, and then twice this season he's been poked in the eye once by Kawhi Leonard to start his little injury woes on the road trip that they had. They went 3-2 in a 5-game Western road trip. That was the trip that they beat the Lakers and kind of opened a lot of people's eyes. But no pun intended, because OG keeps getting poked in the eye. But no, he was a guy, man. We were having legitimate conversations about him and Pascal 2 years ago as to who was the more interesting prospect.
That's right.
Who was the guy that was going to be the real, high ceiling guy that you could dream on? And I, for the life of me, thought it was going to be OG. Now, last year, he was totally thrown off his developmental curve because he had some family tragedy, lost his father, and then he had the appendix removed and he didn't play in the postseason. And now all of a sudden he's taken Kawhi's starting spot and he's been incredible. He's always hit threes. He has kind of an unorthodox shooting stroke, but he's always been really consistent hitting the threes. He's added a little bit of a tighter handle, and the decision-making is so much better this year. But the thing that I think is the most, The thing that you can project the most with him, and it was the reason why him and Siakam were tied together, is the defense, the switchability on defense. OG and Pascal, like those two, and then Marc Gasol still having the court awareness to protect the rim. Those two specifically, though, Siakam and Ananobi, the defense they have guarding multiple positions are the big reason why the Raptors are number one in opponent's field goal percentage.
It's going to be a lot of fun tonight. Both teams can shoot. Both teams can play some defense. Both teams are solid, great organizations. Should be a lot of fun tonight in Toronto at 7:30 when they tip it off between the Heat and the Raptors. Ben Ennis does his deal at 590 The Fan. You can catch him there. Follow him on Twitter at SportsNetBen. Ben, thank you for taking some time, my man. We really appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Good to talk to you.
Good stuff, baby. Be good. There you go. Ben Ennis, man. Good stuff. Appreciate him joining us here on the program to get a little preview.
That was immense effort, considering the international calling situation and everything. And yeah.
Yeah, it was our first international interview, or second.
No, because remember Martin from the UK.
Oh, they were here.
They were here. He had the 561 area code number. T-Mobile.
Yep. Robert's asking me, Big O, what do you think the Dolphins' final record will be? Robert, I think they'll win two more games, Cincinnati and the Giants. I really do. I'd love for them to win this weekend against the Jets. That would be fantastic.
To sweep them?
Yeah.
That would
be great. It'd be so good. So good. I think they're going to get us this week. I mean, they got... Do you realize how much more talent the Jets have over Miami? I mean, really, honestly, Miami has no business beating the Jets at all.
It's amazing the difference that a real coach can do, man.
Coaching, dude.
Yep.
Coaching. K. Rico says the last number one QB pick in the draft to take his team to the Super Bowl was Cam Newton. Yes, sir. Last, let's see, number one pick to win the Super Bowl was Eli Manning in 2004. Yeah, none of it is guaranteed, man. Patricia, always listening. Thank you, Patricia. Tannehill is 4-1 with Titans. Do you believe he can carry them to the playoffs? No, I don't. Mona says, Big O, where do you see the Miami Heat in your power rankings? They've improved, but need a quality win against a good team. Well, they have two quality wins in Milwaukee and Houston. Those are quality wins overall. Right now, in their, you know, here's my problem with, it's a great question you asked, Mona, where I put the Heat in the power rankings, right? I don't know if I'm ready yet to put them in power rankings because I need to see more. I have to see more against good teams. And remember, we talked about this three-game stretch. They beat the Nets, a playoff team. Now you play the Raptors tonight and the Celtics tomorrow. I want to see how you do. Give me a couple more weeks to see where they're at. But right now, if you want to, you know, gun ahead, I got Milwaukee in front of them. I got Toronto in front of them. Even though they're tied with Boston, I think Boston's better. I think Philly's better. I think they're right there with the Pacers and the Nets after that. In other words, they're battling for the fifth spot. Okay?
These three teams were all fighting for a home in the first round of the playoffs.
Yes.
So top four. So you're talking 1-4 because Philly Nets, is in there.
Nets, but no. Nets are in the back half. Next year,
you think
yes.
So?
Yeah, next year, yes.
Oh, well, that's, you know what? They're
they
missing
Durant,
a main
and right call. Now, and yes. Kyrie has been in and out of the lineup. You know what I mean? So I think they're a 5-8 seed right now.
But the other
ones. Playoff team. They were a playoff team without Kyrie.
So you're looking at Toronto, Boston and Philly
and
Milwaukee,
and
obviously
Milwaukee
being the 1-4.
Yeah, Milwaukee's won like 100 games in a row, right?
We're
12.
Yeah,
won 12 games in a row.
We're trying to sandwich
Toronto. By the way, has won 7 games in a row tonight.
Oh, they've been playing good ball.
Okay, the top two teams, Milwaukee's won 12, Toronto's won 7, and then the Heat are in third place and they've won 2 in a row. So
okay, considering
hopefully it'll be 3 in a row and they snap the Raptors, you know, 7-game winning streak. That would be fantastic.
So realistically, obviously, and this is a team that has
5 right now,
massive playoff experience, having won a finals. Okay,
who's that? Who are we talking
Toronto.
About? Toronto. Oh yeah.
That it were tonight's going to be tough. If we win this game, this is
tough.
Major.
Yeah. Oh yes,
this is a major.
Yes,
this wedges right up underneath the Milwaukee on the road. And the Houston.
It's better than Houston.
Well, yeah, because Houston doesn't play defense.
There you go. You read my mind. With Houston, all you got to do is outscore them and play some D and make get a couple stops, and you're all right. Now, you got to score.
Make your open baskets. Make your open baskets.
Now, you got to score.
Houston, yes.
You got to score. Miami has enough shooters now that they can score. But I would be more impressed with beating Toronto on the road than Houston.
So this is a huge for us tonight.
Well, you just heard Ben, and yeah, he made a great point. They just handled Utah.
Wow.
Utah's not easy, bro.
No, man.
They can play D.
They bring it every night.
They play D.
Yep.
Gobert is, you know, one of the best rim protectors that there is in the league. So they're good. Still got a little bit of a voice left. Let's see. What else do we have here? Patricia follows up. The reason why I said that watching them against the Lakers, Philly, and Denver, top teams, they got blown out. Yeah. No, you're right, Patricia. You're right about that. I see what you're saying now. And that's why I need to see more from them. But let's be honest now, Patricia. They're supposed to lose to those teams. They're not better than Utah, and they're not better than the Lakers. And who was it? Oh, Denver. They're not better than those kind of teams.
Denver in Denver is...
Well, they lose to Denver in Denver no matter who's in Denver.
No, but I'm saying Denver here, we can beat Denver here.
A shot. But Denver's a hell of a team, dude.
I'm not taking anything away.
They were a top three seed in the West last year. I'm pretty sure. Let me see. I'll tell you right now. I'll look it up. Man, they don't have the – I thought they had the thing where you had the other years that you can go to. Oh, they don't have it here. But I want to say they were a top three seed last year. Denver's a hell of a team, man. Miami's not better than Denver. Do they have a shot to beat them? Of course. They have a shot to beat anybody, but we can't get ahead of ourselves, okay? Now that the Heat have overachieved and they're playing better than most of us expected, we can't sit there now and say, well, we expect them to be this, this, and this. They've overachieved. Like, they're not supposed to win tonight. If you base it on talent and experience, they're not supposed to win tonight. If they win tonight, that's one hell of a victory. And then you go play a team that has more talent than you on the road, back-to-back night in Boston, you should lose that one too. Because you don't have better talent than them. You know? So we're kind of in that rut that we really don't know what the Heat are yet. But we're kind of getting that feel.
We should feel better than the fake 31-10 team.
Oh, yeah.
This is legit.
There's no fake here.
This is legit.
Yeah. Okay? There's no fake here.
It's just, obviously, our youth.
Right.
And being a new team.
Right.
Like, these things are going to come into play against the better, the upper echelon teams that have been in the playoffs, that have experience.
Yes.
And we just got to see how it all shakes out.
Yep. That's it. That's what it be, B. All right, let's wrap it up here on the show. We thank David Dwork. We thank Manny Navarro. Man, Manny Navarro's driving up in the Northeast and still chiming in and great info,
They're
too.
They're still not dealing with the blizzard. I mean, think about it. He was in Connecticut. Dude, they were dealing with a whole bunch of snow.
Is it still going on?
I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking about us having cold. I'm all excited about that, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really care what everybody else. We have winter here.
Yeah. Wrong day for the cold for the next couple of days. I don't need it right now. Ryan Dunleavy, of course, from the New York Post for joining us. Andre Fernandez from The Athletic and Ben Ennis from 590 The Fan. Plenty of sports talk for you, even though I don't have a voice. But you know what? We're troopers, baby. We're going to grind all the way to the end.
Voice. Hey. We need some of that for tomorrow, man. Save it, brother.
I won't say more than 10 words for the rest of the day.
Take it easy, man.
All right, you guys be good out there. Thank you for always supporting us. Much love out there. Be safe. Thank you, Bill. Excellent work by you, sir, as always.
Thank you all.
And John Cassio, excellent work by you, sir.